We are being revived. We are in the process. And what the Lord has already began to do, I believe, is just a bit of what He would really like to do in our hearts and lives. Acts chapter 3, verse 19. It says, "Repent, ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." When the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. In the fall of 1904, revival broke out in a little country called Wales. And in the next 6 months, 100,000 people got saved. Nobody organized the campaign. There was no advertisements, no public relations, no radio, no TV, no anything. It was a sovereign move of God to such an extent that people who were not right with Him, without anybody witnessing to them, would just cry out and say, "What must I do to be saved?" I remember when I was in Bible school, there was a couple of young people from the Mount Carmel area. And they had a revival while we were at Bible school. And there was over 100 saved in several weeks revival. And they said it was not an uncommon thing for them to get to church at night and there'd be someone sitting on the sidewalk and they'd say, I just walked by here and I don't know why, but I just need to go in this building. Over 100 people were saved. The country of Wales in the late 1850s had a great revival. And they had, in the next 50, 60 years, they settled back into a place of comfort and a place of ease. And after a period of time, the churches became very formalistic and they just got by. They just had their activities and they did all that they wanted to do, but there was not really any spirituality among those churches. But in 1904, God began to work on some hearts and lives through the nation of Wales, and it became, one writer said, like a tinderbox for revival to break out in their hearts and in their lives. And God used a young man, a teenager almost, by the name of Evan Roberts, to bring about a revival in that country. For 13 years, Evan Roberts worked in the coal mines of Wales, and he prayed that God would send revival to Wales, and God would literally change that. And he began to have prayer meetings, and things began to happen, but things began to stir. In 1904, again, Evan Roberts was called into the ministry, and he began to preach, and he began to encourage folks to have revival following a Sunday morning service. One day, a young man by the name of Seth Joshua was asked to close the service that morning. And Seth stood to his feet and with humility he began to pray. And in that prayer, he said these words. He said, "Lord, bend us." And Evan Roberts caught a hold of that. And as he left that building that morning, he began to pray, "Oh, Lord, bend me. Oh, Lord, bend me." God gave Evan Roberts a burden for his home church. And so he went back there to hold revival among the young people. He preached on a Monday night prayer meeting. 17 people were there. 17 young people were there in that service that night. And he said, "If you're interested in having revival, I want you to stay around after the service." When the service was concluded, 17 young people stayed that night. Evan Roberts gave them 4 truths. He said, number 1, you must put away unconfessed sin. Number 2, you must put away any doubtful habit. Number 3, you must obey the Spirit promptly. And number 4, you must You must confess Christ publicly. There were 17 young people that took that covenant that night, and they said, we will have the presence of God. And then in 2 months' time, 70,000 were saved. In 4 months' time, 85,000 were saved. In 6 months' time, 100,000 people were changed by the power of an almighty God. Why? Because one young man said, Lord, be in me. Let your presence fall on me in my heart and in my life. And then, folks, could I tell you something tonight? Revival is a wonderful thing, and it's an exciting thing. It brings your emotion to the top. But could I also tell you tonight that revival is also a life-changing thing, and that he'll literally change your life, and then it caused you to make some commitments in your heart to God that you never thought would be able to be accomplished. Spiritual awakening. I mentioned a couple services ago that spiritual awakening is when a number of people or a large percentage of the people in an area get saved. I'm told, what, about 18,000 in this Sand Springs area right in here. Maybe I'm off a little bit, but right around in that area. Can you imagine about 15,000 folks getting saved? Spiritual awakening. Folks that don't know what's going on. Folks that don't always understand all that's transpired, but literally just saying something's got to change in my life. I've got to have folks come and tell you what. We can have church every night of the week with that kind of an atmosphere in hearts and in lives. And then when we have that spiritual awakening, folks, they're not just times of mass decisions where we're seeing every hand around us. Sometimes there are a lot of mass decisions, but what we're asking for tonight is not somebody just to make a decision, but for somebody to make a commitment that they're going to serve God for the rest of their life. And then they're not going to go back to the way of the world. They're not going to keep on living the same old sinful lifestyle, but they're going to come back to God and they're going to follow Jesus Christ. And then I read the other scripture said, therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Revival then is something that happens in the church. Well, if we have revival, souls are going to get saved. Ultimately, yes, but when revival comes, that's what's going to happen in here. That's what's going to happen in this building, in our hearts and in our lives. For some, it might be a series of meetings in the spring or in the fall. Amen, brothers. It might be other things. Amen, folks. But what it really means to our hearts and in our lives. Amen. It comes from two words, which the re meaning again, and by, which means to live. And what we're asking God to do is bring back to life again, one more time, bring back to life our real experience with God. And then it's a time of spiritual life. If it's a time of spiritual vitality. I've seen folks before that's been sick and now they're well, and you look at them, you can tell there's a difference in their lives, and then you can see it in their hearts and their lives. That's what we're asking God to do, and then that's what we're petitioning Him to do. And then, folks, the times of refreshing are coming. Yes, they are. And then, but He said, let's get the church ready, and then let's prepare our hearts and our lives, and then let's bring to life one more time that relationship that we have with Jesus Christ. And then we're going to talk about that revival. And then we're going to talk about a spiritual awakening. We want something to happen in this building. And then Sister Jennifer said a while ago, and then we want it to happen tonight. We want it to happen Sunday morning. We want it to happen Sunday night. Every time we come together, we want something to happen in our services. Why? Because then we will take it out to the world. We'll take it to our jobs, and then we'll take it to our schools. We'll take it to the hospitals, and everywhere that we'll go, we'll take it. And ultimately, there will come about an awakening. Hallelujah. Men and women's hearts and in their lives. When God's people return to Him with a renewed determination. Amen. Amen. Folks, I'm not silly enough to think tonight that everybody that comes to church on Wednesday night just jump bounces up and down and can't wait to get here. I know sometimes that a vast majority of us, we come because that's what we're supposed to do on Wednesday night. And that's a good thing. That's a good habit to get in. Amen. But you know what? I want to make Wednesday night service such that you can say, Brother Willie, I am so tired and I'm so exhausted. But you know what? I just feel like if I can get to the house of God, that God will do something in my heart and my life while I'm there. And then you may not be able to do anything but sit on the pew while you're here. But blessed be the name of the Lord. At least you're here in the house of God, and there is opportunity for God to do something in your heart and in your life. Folks, if the awakening comes, then revival must come in our hearts and in our lives. Glory be to God. And then when Jesus was arrested, when he was crucified, the disciples deserted him. They went away. The Bible said Peter even cursed. And he said, I don't know, I don't even know who you're talking about. But in those days following that period, there was something God had to do in the church before he could do anything out there for the people that were in the world. Amen. These days, folks are provided. Amen. Time provided time for Jesus to further prepare the kingdom of God, to prepare the church, to prepare their heart. You say, Brother Willie, you're trying to prepare us for something. Yes, I'm trying to prepare us for what God wants to do. Acts 1 and 3 said, to whom also he shewed himself alive. Hallelujah. We're not serving a dead God. He didn't come out of the grave, amen, but just on a stretcher. He didn't come out wounded, but he came out alive with power over death, hell, and the grave. And that's exactly what he intends to do for the church. Amen. Who showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Why did he do that? Well, Luke 24 said, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Where did he say we would be witnesses at? In Jerusalem. That's home. That's right here. Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. He said, you'll take this into all the world. And folks, when the Holy Ghost came on the day of Pentecost, he empowered that church for the first time. Amen. Oh, you say they did some wonderful things. They sure did. But they didn't do it as we are to be able to do it today. There was a difference in that early group and that group before Pentecost and that group after Pentecost. Amen, folks. At that point, on the day of Pentecost, the church did not need spiritual renewal. Amen. That was the outpouring. That was the renewing that was there. Amen. And as that newly revived, empowered church, amen, they were beginning to experience the fullness of the power of God. And that's what God intended for his church to have. Have you ever had time to visit with any of the old timers from Pentecost? You know, it just amazes me. My grandmother was saved and filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost in this First Assembly of God in Gracemont, Oklahoma. And you know what? You could just say, Grandma, how are you doing? She said, well, I'm doing fine. I said, the Lord bless you. And she'd just go into speaking in tongues. She didn't have to pray through. She lived that way. I mean, you could just say, in God, in Grandma, she'd say, Hukumashalam. And here, I mean, she was off in the tongue. She just, I mean, it was just there. You know, it's been a long time since I said, talked to anybody, said, how you doing? And they just went to speaking in tongues. Hallelujah. That's what God wants the church to be. I'm not saying we'd be an embarrassment or that we bring a reproach upon us. I'm just saying we be the church. Hallelujah. That's what God wanted them to be. He wanted the power of his spirit to be in their hearts and in their lives. That's the life that God intended for his church to have. Sunday should not be a rarity in our hearts and our lives. Acts 2 and verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul. every soul. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together and had all things common, sold their possession. Verse 46, and they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord, and the Lord, and the Lord added daily. Oh, when we're having campaign, that's when we got to have somebody getting saved. No, it said daily. Daily, the Lord added to the church. Folks, the people in that early church, they were literally filled with all of the presence of God. Their lives were changed. They lived unselfishly, and God poured out His Spirit upon them. God touched them and moved upon them, and they experienced it. There was the viving, not the reviving, because they didn't need reviving. They had not been alive once when they died. They were vived. But because of vival, that's how they say it in the South, vival, there came about an awakening. And I'm telling you what, there was an awakening that happened on the day of Pentecost. You say, "Really? I thought you said they had vive back there." It was. They did have vive. They got vive. They got full of the Holy Ghost. 120 of them got full of the Holy Ghost. And I don't know that the place that they say is the upper room in Jerusalem is really the upper room. But I tell you what, there's something about being in that place that will just bounce you around that room. And I'll tell you what, it'd be hard to get 120 in that upper room, especially if they were moving like we did Sunday. But you know what? They didn't stay in the upper room. Well, they come out of that upper room and they said, "What is this? What are we seeing? What are we experiencing?" And Peter standing with the 11, amen, they just got like a bunch of holiness folks. One of them preached to the others, patted him on the back, said, "You're doing a good job." And then he said, this is that which was prophesied by the prophet Joel in the last day, said, "God, I'll pour out my Spirit." And he began to preach unto them. And 3,000 were added to the church. If real revival comes to the church, spiritual awakening will come in the community. You say, "Brother, we don't really care about the community." Well, all we care about is right here in our four walls. If we can just have the goods right here, I'm telling you, that's all we need. Then, folks, we're missing the whole mark. What God's trying to do in our hearts and our lives is not just so we get excited at church, but that we take that same excitement to the street. Hallelujah. And then when we go out into the streets, they see us. They know us. They understand who we are. They know that we're holiness people, but they see the joy of the Lord in our hearts so much that they have to say, "What's going on with you? What's the matter with you?" And you can tell them, "I've been saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, and fire baptized." Hallelujah. That early church was what God expected for every church to be. Not just Pentecostal churches. And the sad thing about it many times is when that reviving comes and that awakening comes, people begin to say, "We are doing good." I'm telling you what, we are having church now. Just sit and watch. Just watch. And then it gets quiet. And then before long, nobody remembers hardly what was going on back there. Oh, they can tell about how it happened. They can tell what happened. They can tell you about the services, but they don't remember the why that revival came. They don't tell you about the people that literally prayed and the people that fasted and the people that waited in the presence of God for revival to come upon their hearts and in their lives. And they get in that cycle. They get in a tendency where they drift away from God then, where a lot of our denominations and fellowships are tonight. Especially among the Pentecostal folks. You know, about first generation I mean, they have powerful revival. They have the power of God. The power of God falls. They know they live right. They call themselves to holiness and to righteousness because they know where God's brought them from. The second generation said, that's great and wonderful, but we don't really know why all that's going on. But you know, that's all right. We're going to do it anyway. And it continues on. That third generation said, I don't know why. I don't know how. And they toss it all out the door. That's why. Oh, hallelujah. That's why God's calling Landmark Tabernacle back for us to know why we believe what we believe, why we stand where we stand, why so we can tell our young people and they can experience that joy, not because mom and dad's had it, not because it's exciting, but because they've experienced it for themselves. So, the people... there's a process there. People serve the Lord. They found the presence of God. And when they become content, then they begin to forsake. They begin to get cold. And after that, then God begins to send defeat or allow defeat to come. And there's no victory anymore. There's no healings. There's nobody baptized in the Holy Ghost. 30. And I came from this background. So I can tell you this. 33% of the Assembly of God people are all who speak with tongues. I don't know about everybody else. But I'm telling you, 33%, that's a lot of folks that's not speaking in tongues. It's claiming to be Pentecost. It didn't happen that way when I was a kid. I mean, they come to you and they say, Brother Charles, don't you think you ought to seek for the Holy Ghost this morning? Which Sunday morning? And the preachers, I don't care. You ought to seek for the Holy Ghost. And you know what? If Brother Charles didn't get on Sunday morning, and he didn't come to the altar on Sunday night because he was tired, they'd go back and they'd say, Brother Charles, don't you think you ought to seek the Holy Ghost tonight? Well, surely they wouldn't do that on Wednesday night. Oh, yeah, Brother Charles didn't come back on Wednesday night, and he didn't get the Holy Ghost on Sunday night. They'd come back and they'd say, Brother Charles, don't you think you ought to seek for the Holy Ghost tonight? And you know what? You either said, yes, I believe I will, or you had to wade through them. You didn't get away. I know what I'm talking about. There was two rows of grandmas that sat on this side in the church I was raised in. And when they said somebody's praying for the Holy Ghost, I mean, it was like sick 'em to them grandmas. I mean, out of them pews they came right down. It didn't care if you was man or woman. And they got around you and you didn't get out till you got the Holy Ghost. God, when folks drift away, then defeat comes. No victory. And through a period of time, then the people realize they've drifted away. Oh, hallelujah. They drift away. But oh, but then the people realize that they have left something. They have left something along the way. And they begin to go back to God and they begin to say, Lord, we don't understand what's happening here. It may have been a generation ago that these things happened. And these things transpired in our hearts and in our parents' lives. But Lord, we don't know necessarily what we need to do, but we know we need to have you in our lives. And they begin to cry out to God one more time. And they say, Lord, would you send your spirit? We don't know what you want to do. We don't know how it's got to be done. But Lord, we are open unto your moving in our hearts and in our lives. And you know what? God in his compassion said, I hear you cry. I hear you cry. And he begins one more time to pour out his spirit on his church, and they begin one more time to experience the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And it comes full circle all the way around again. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, repent. Let me get it back here for you. He said, repent ye therefore and be converted. What does that word converted mean? Be convinced. Be convinced that your sins may be blotted out when the times are ripped. You know what, folks? Our world's saying we need it. And I got so much more, but they don't need to keep it on. Amen. We got so much going on in our world. Let's do it this way. Let's do it that way. Let's do it some other way. But what God is telling Landmark Tabernacle tonight, I have, believe I have heard from the Lord. And he's telling me to tell us tonight. Amen. I've heard you cry. I've heard your petition. Amen. And you're preparing your hearts. You're preparing your lives. And you know what? In the process of that preparation, he may speak to somebody about the way they dress. He may speak to somebody about the places they go. He may speak to somebody about the things they see and the books they read. Amen. But what I'm saying tonight is we say, God, deal with Landmark Tabernacle. Speak to Landmark Tabernacle. Why? Because it does not matter what we have to do, because we want revival. We want renewal. We want the power of the Holy Ghost to be manifested in our lives. Come on, let's praise him one more time and I'm going to quit. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah! 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 When the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. When the times. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. When the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, church, let us not find ourselves lax and away from God. The devil will fight with everything he has to make you fall. The devil will throw everything that he possibly can throw at you to get you involved. But could I just remind you that the Bible still said, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. I read where it said, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us and gave himself for us. And then would God tonight that the church of Jesus Christ would arise with power and victory in her heart tonight. Hallelujah. Stand with me tonight, would you? Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. All I know to do tonight is just call you into this altar one more time. If you want to kneel at the altar, you kneel. If you want to stand right where you're at, amen, you just stand where you're at. You need to get out and walk around the aisle. Amen. I'm going to encourage you, get out and walk around the aisle. If there's somebody you need to pray with tonight, amen, you get up beside them and tell them, let them know, I'm standing beside you tonight. Amen, folks, we're contending. We're contending tonight for a fresh outpouring of the Holy Ghost on Landmark Tabernacle. We're believing God tonight for a new revelation, a new understanding of his presence and his power. Glory to God.